Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Restart TV, the format in live streaming that goes live every Wednesday at 12 o'clock on the social channels of BPress, the Italian communications agency. Today is episode number 54, and given the fact that all the political leaders came to Europe to gather and discuss about the future of the planet, we decided to dedicate this episode to the communications challenges that leaders are facing today. The title is Overcoming the Communications Challenges Faced by Today's Leaders in Europe. And to speak about this topic, which is absolutely in line with our activity as a PR agency, we invited three guests from WorkOM. WorkOM PR Group is the partnership we are affiliated to since 1996. And it's one of the leading partnerships and networks of agencies around the world. So I introduce my colleagues quickly and welcome Serge Beckers from Visse Communicatie in the Netherlands. Hi, Serge. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
And then Cyril Arcamon from Marc in Paris, France. Hi, Cyril.
Bonjour. Welcome. Buongiorno, Diego.
Buongiorno. And finally, Patrick Schober from Pram Consulting in Prague, Czech Republic. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for being here.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
So we want to speak about the communications challenges and why this topic, because the media are totally covered by the pictures of the G20 summit in Rome, the COP26 in Glasgow. We conducted a quick media review, and the titles are all on that topic. If you want to see something here, all the political leaders in front of Fontana di Trevi in Rome committing on take action. And the take action is exactly what people are asking, are looking for. If you have seen that picture of the long queue outside the conference hall in Glasgow for the COP26, people wanted to be there, involved, and this invitation to the political leaders doesn't come only from the top, from the big influencers like Sir David Attenborough, that made a statement about the planet. But they come also from the bottom. If you take Greta Thunberg, in my opinion, the real influencer and the real leader of today, she says, because people say no more blah, 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 so no more wasted speeches, but action. So this is the context. This is the world that we are facing also from a communications point of view. And I would like to start with a question about this. And the first question is, on the backdrop of the G20 summit, the COP26, but also Black Lives Matter, Me Too, all the movements, how leaders, political or in companies, should take again control and speak to their audiences? How communications plays a role in that sense? And I'd like to start with this question with Serge. I know that you're working on a lot on a tool that we developed as a network, the WorkOM Confidence Index. So if you want to, you can start with that.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Diego. What we see, and I think we see that around the world, is that obviously the pandemic has been a terrible event for all of us. But if one thing came out of it that's good for us, is that people are reconsidering their value of life, the work-life balance, the relevance of their lives, the relevance of selling products against, more human interaction. So that's what we see in communications as well. Helping is the new selling, as you hear in marketing. So if you are relevant as a company, obviously you want to still want to sell your services and products, but you need to be relevant in that respect. And that's what the confidence index shows as well. Let me quickly explain what the confidence index does. This is an artificial intelligence application that actually analyzes the online presence, the online coverage from around 100,000 CEOs and CMOs in 42 countries on 20 topics. So we're not sending out surveys that could lead to biased answers. We are just analyzing the stuff that they are putting online. And what we see is that the subjects most talked about, and that has been going on since actually basically the beginning of COVID, is diversity, equity, and inclusion, sustainability, CSR, employee engagement. So we are definitely moving from selling to relevance from a human point of view. And that's a very strong movement that companies need to adapt to.
Also because the leaders are interpreting the sentiment of the people or of the customer base, if you want to be more cynic. And the needle is definitely moving. We are running this index since when? 2018. Good.
18, yeah.
And have we seen any spike, or it's a constant increase of this type of topics?
There aren't that many spikes because I think the society was ready for a more human approach. You know, we're getting rid of superfluous stuff, and we're more concerned about saving the planet than about getting more power or more products. And that has been going on for quite some time. But we did see a spike in DEI, so diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is definitely becoming more important. Financially, societal, with more women on boards and stuff like that, that has been going on for quite some time, and is now it's time to act.
To act, yes. Thank you, Serge. And I turn this question to Cyril from France. Do you think it's in France the people's sentiment is going in the same direction? How do you see the society moving?
There is certainly a similar trend across Europe. There are nevertheless some specificities, I believe. And if we take two of the topics that Serge mentioned, there is an increased and probably higher concern in France about employee retention because of the rebound of the economy, because of the shortage of workforce and talents. In the conversation of the CEOs, there is a massive concern about, and in many sectors, you can talk about hostelry or tourism, in communication, we all look for talents, and there is a real concern about it. And connected to what Serge mentioned, this is not only that we don't have the people anymore for the companies to produce, but the lockdowns, the COVID, and all those concerns are now taken into account by the employees, and they expect much more than a salary or a solid position within the company. And there must be a conversation within companies about what people are expecting from their jobs, what they are expecting from their company in topics like sustainability, diversity, that has to be engaged. And that's clearly one of the clear focus. The other one, which is very specific to France, is that we are entering into an electoral period. We're going to vote for a new president by April, general elections by June. And we know already that this campaign will be aggressive, will be probably full of fake news, and will impact, if you love it or if you dislike it, no matter, that will impact the communication of the company, because any behavior, any topic, any scandal, any crisis will be much more interpreted in this very controversial period we're gonna face. Preparedness, transparency, honesty will be more and more expected.
And also from a media perspective, elections take a lot of media space and yes, media attention. And yes, we have to face with that.
That's a tough challenge for us PR people. We had the COVID where it was pretty tough to talk about something else. And we are now entering into a period of politics first, which means, by the way, communication should be linked to the conversations. You don't have to send a press release about your new product only and say this is absolutely new and wonderful. You need to engage within the field and the topics the journalists are treating, which are different.
Yes, and in Italy, for instance, there is a lot of debate about greenwashing, all the fake and cynical attitudes that some leaders are taking to fill the gap quickly and align with the common sense, you know. And is it true in France as well, or it's only an Italian thing?
No, it is unfortunately true everywhere, I believe, and that has to be taken into account here, like everywhere else. There is a strong, within the index, it's very interesting, the topic of the impact of the media, the role and the impact of the media is, not a surprise, at the top for the CEO. There is a real concern from the CEOs about what are the role of the new media and the existing or old media and their impact. And it is one of the topics where the confidence is the lowest. There are concerns, there are questions about where are the journalists going, what is the relationship between the social media and the traditional or journalist. And the whole question is full of concern and anxiety for the CEOs. Because they fear the fake news, they fear the lack of control of the conversations. Yeah. That's where we need to be. That's where we are.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Cyril. Patrick, it's your turn now, with the same question.
Well, with the link to what you mentioned just about the summits and elections and. Topic of greenwashing and pandemic. I would say that the whole society deals really with a lot of disinformation, and I perceive an intensive spread of disinformation in our society, and leaders have to deal with that, and we as a PR professionals should help them to deal with them. And of course, there are a lot of initiatives regarding not advertise on disinformation websites, which are of course good. However, the issue of the relationship between disciplines as PR and fake news is not about advertising only, but also brands can easily become the target of fake news, which can have a negative impact on them. And it is necessary to be prepared for a situation like this, to be able to react quickly and to effectively disapprove the disinformation. And another problem is that by expanding of influence of disinformation, the trust in traditional media being declined. So, we here in Czech Republic, in our PR association, put down 7 principles for PR professionals to deal with these disinformation. And first principle is to define. We should be all clear what disinformation is for us and for our organization, because for everyone it is a bit different thing. Actually, we should explain it our expertise and educate our surroundings about what disinformation is and what risks could bring these disinformation. Of course, we shouldn't advertise on the websites where disinformation is
is placed because it is a reputational risk for our organization. But at the same time, we shouldn't send any information to these websites, and we shouldn't invite them for press conferences, etc., etc. And also, we should be ready for this information because, as I said already, it is a reputational risk for the organization. So, if there are disinformation about us, We should be ready, same as for any other crisis situation. So it is crisis communication. We should disprove, ignoring misinformation may not be the solution. In the solution of reputation threat, carefully consider how to disprove the disinformation so it is not strengthened. And last but not least, we should always verify. All the information we should verify. So we should find independent sources of objective information and verify facts with them. And for example, we can use fact checking platforms. So this is it from my point of view regarding today's threats for leaders.
Yes. Thank you, Patrick. I'd like to see all the seven principles. I think it's a good initiative to start setting the new rules in a world that is changing every day. You touched that good point that allows me to speak about the second question. You talked about the independency of the media. You talked about fake news. I am going quickly to the second question that speaks about the influencers. Who are the influencers today? The media have a role because they give a guarantee of correctness of every news, but are they becoming also influencers? Who are the influencers today? Not anymore celebrities or young talents recommending products. How is it going in your countries? And how this connects to the challenges of the leaders today? We'll start again with the surge.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely a good point, Diego. In my opinion, in our country, the journalists are becoming the new influencers. You know, we're moving away from the celebrities to people with knowledge, with expertise. You know, in the Netherlands, they say we're with 17 million people and we all are experts on COVID and we're all experts on football. We're all able to coach the national team. Obviously, not all of us have the experience that Louis van Gaal has or are COVID specialists, but now we're seeing a shift from people that are just saying something because they're famous or well-known to actual experts that have done their research, that know the context, that are serious, that are non-commercial. So in my opinion, the journalists are becoming the new influencers. And that's actually an important bridge to our previous subject, because the confidence index says that the audience for CEO and CMOs that is most important are influencers. So they should take that switch to experts and journalists into account, definitely.
Yes, and obviously this is valid for nearly all country. I'd like to see what Cyril is thinking about this topic. Cyril.
I share the point. I think that there is a real shift and an increased maturity with the influencers where the volumes of followers of some celebrities has less value probably today than the relevance of new talents. Producer of content, and I think about students that are creating content on science, on diversity, on sexual education, some teachers, some some professionals, and I truly believe that there is, and they have an audience, a reliable and trusty audience, and I think that's where public relations is again extremely useful, because you need to create a relations of confidence and trust with those new influencers. They could be journalists as well. And you need to provide them real content. And it's not anymore just sending a product and forgetting to ask the product to come back, which was sort of the old school influencer relationships. We're in a situation where we do work with some influencers like we were used to work with journalists, providing content, educational content, data, studies, and they do whatever they want with it. But we know it's with people that are making it with values.
In there are countries. Thank you, Cyril. I take your last point. Working with influencers, there are countries where working with influencers requires a budget because they monetize not today. The ones with the most followership monetize quickly their leadership in a way. Is it true in all your countries, or do you see this as a trend, growing trend, declining, stable? What do you think? Shall we start with the Serge on this?
I think we see that shift as well, and that's actually goes back to what I mentioned before about credibility, relevance, you know, journalistic content, if you will. More, we're shying away from the marketing, pure marketing stuff, pushing products to the journalistic relevance. Yeah, we absolutely see that as well here. Yeah, so I said before, helping is the new selling, but research is the new selling as well. You need to be relevant and
relevancy. Yes, thanks, George. So
back to your question, Diego. Well, back to your question about budget. There is probably a little shift on the budget, but it still asks for budget. The first point: it takes time. It takes time to engage with the influencers. It takes time to build the partnership. It takes time to work on the material the company or the client can provide. And that time has to be paid, both sides. And I truly believe it's more a question of qualitative work now that is based on time and on long-term partnership rather than advertising budget. But there is still a budget, nevertheless. It's not for free. And it wouldn't be true to say we can work for free with micro or nano influencers. It's not true.
Mm. Okay.
Talking about budget, I would say that that also the influencers should be absolutely clear on their channels if it's a paid cooperation or just their work. And unfortunately, I think, or I'm curious about your countries, but definitely not in Central and Eastern Europe. It is not under any law that influencers should place underneath their blog posts or YouTube videos that this is cooperation or advertisement. And I think it influences not only the youngsters but also in B2B or other B2C communications or adult people, and they might be confused if this is advertisement or not. So yes, budget is one thing, but another thing is ethics of influencers.
Yes, ethics again. Yes, in fact, no, I think it's a good point saying that influencers are becoming more fragmented and there are types of influencers. I was wondering if politicians are still considered influencers nowadays or not. But that would lead to a different type of talk. So I drop it. So okay. So thank you for your views on this. So since we have a few more minutes, I would like to close with a final round with a surprise question, which is. Okay, we said many things about the challenges. So what? What is your so what, Serge? What do you think?
I'm not sure what you mean. Could you please
so
explain?
What to mean? Means what should we do? Where do we start?
Right. We should take, as a society, we should take into account that it is, well, I'm repeating myself, but it is much more about people, about their happiness, actually, than it is about selling. You know, you have to connect with people, engage with people, see what they're about, what they're thinking to sell your products. So that was actually, getting back to your first question, what should we do? We should realize that COVID made a massive shift in the way we think. The planet, our lives are becoming more important. If you want to sell your products and services, you need to take that into account.
Yes, and be relevant and be close to, to people. Exactly. Yeah, and customers, yes. In fact, this is what we are seeing after COVID, if we can speak about after. Companies that invested a lot prior to the COVID into a true relationship and created a bond with customers are the ones that emerge stronger and quicker. Yeah, okay. So, Cyril, what do you think we should do to restart? Where do we start from?
I think we need to enlarge the scope of our communications. I truly believe companies are now asked about topics they were not at all involved in or they were not taking care of. And I truly believe that monitoring the web is a critical tool to understand what your consumers, your employees, your stakeholders are talking about. And when they talk about your product, you realize that they do not talk about the ingredients or the effects or the test or whatever. They talk about so many other things. And if you monitor it frequently, you are asked to think about it within the company. And I think that enlarged the scope of the positioning of the questions the companies have to answer. And the point number two is to speed up. I truly believe the topics that are emerging now are accelerating. Let's talk about the sustainability. There is a sort of a maturity, not for all companies, not for everyone, but this is a topic where there is a real maturity of the company positions in many cases. Diversity, lost. Many of them are just putting principle that they are not truly informed of, but there is no sensibilization, there is no training, there is no follow-up, there is no testing of the commitments, there is no control, there is no clear decisions when something is getting wrong. And I think that there is a need to speed up because they're going to face issues and crises pretty soon.
Yes. Mm. So this call to action is a good one. I share that, definitely. Okay, and finally, Patrick, where should we restart from, in your opinion?
Well, I think everyone should be get vaccinated. I think we should start from this point of view. Then we should have our lives in some balance and so slow down and of course work in office, work at home and have good life balance. And at the end, I think we should listen the real leaders and maybe new leaders and both that summits now showed us that there are actually new leaders coming in and we should have some kind of critical thinking about what happens.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we could say that COVID has reset all of us and we have to restart. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Patrick. Thank you to the guests of this episode, and I thank you very much for dedicating some time to us, Serge Beckers from Visa Comunicati in the Netherlands, Cyril Arcamon from Marc in France, and Patrick Schober in from Prime in Czech Republic. I hope to see you again in an episode of Restart TV. And if you want to follow the work on Confidence Index, feel free to check on our website, work on group workonpeergroup.com, and we will see next Wednesday at 12 o'clock on Restart the TV in a new episode. Bye-bye.